Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com, Amazon, and select retailers nationwide.
Welcome back to Double Play. I am Chris Clemmer.
Do a flourish or something.
I am here with Brandon Walker, and this is where we talk about two different sports movies.
There it is.
With the same sport. Today, Friday Night Lights.
Can I
Draft Day. And my co-host, Brandon Walker.
This is Double Play, a podcast where we take a look at the best and the worst of sports movies. Today, we're taking a look at Friday Night Lights, and we're looking at Draft Day. Chris Clemmer, right beside me. How you doing, Chris?
I think mine was more authentic. It felt more real. People probably enjoyed it more.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm not wildly successful at what I do. I'm not a terrifically handsome gentleman that knows how to deliver a fun, entertaining product to the millions and millions of Brandon Walker fans.
What's up next on wrestling?
You know, you've gotten really good at these little sneaky haymakers, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You know what? I actually did release a wrestling interview recently.
I saw that, actually. Yeah.
So maybe...
I'm warm my heart.
Maybe don't be so...
I know you've had your struggles, but I'm rooting for you. I'm pulling for
first
Brandon
of all, I'm on some very successful shows. Mm. Now, it's not like the ones that got canceled are the only ones I do.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. So, our successful movie we're talking about today is Friday Night Lights, which...
Well, I would argue both of these were moderately successful.
Yeah, I guess. Draft Day, I think...
So this is where we're going to have a lot of discussion on this show.
Okay.
Because this is our third episode.
Yep.
On episode one, we did Moneyball and Ed.
Right.
One of the most respected baseball movies and one of the worst movies ever put on film. Last week, we did Hoosiers and Eddie.
Right.
One of the most beloved basketball movies and a Whoopi Goldberg as a coach movie.
Coaching the Knicks.
Terrible, terrible movie.
Yeah.
This week, we have Friday Night Lights and Draft Day, which I don't think Draft Day is nearly in the category of bad as much as those other two.
I would agree with you.
I mean, listen, is it a good movie?
No.
Most certainly not. Is it an abomination?
No.
It is not that either.
Pretty stupid, though.
The reason it's a bad movie is because of how stupid it is. The bones of the movie could have produced a good product.
I agree. Unlike Ed, where there's no way that movie could ever have been good.
Right.
Like, there's no way a monkey with Matt LeBlanc
if you simply
is ever good.
Had a consultant or two to stop them from doing a couple dumb things on draft day, you've got a fine movie.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, if more than a couple things. But yeah, I guess so.
But I'm actually more anxious to talk about the good movie this
week.
Because you had seen Draft Day prior to this podcast.
Yep.
You had never seen Friday Night Lights.
No.
Take me into your mind of why you, a massive sports fan, never saw Friday Night Lights.
I don't know. That's a good question, I guess. I love the show. It's one of my maybe 5 or 10 favorite shows ever. I really, really, really enjoyed the show. I had never read the book. Maybe I was kind of waiting to read the book, which I never really got around to doing either. So I don't know. Maybe it was just procrastination.
The book came out when I was in fifth grade. I read it when I was in fifth grade,
mm-hmm.
which is a heavy book for a fifth grader. But
yeah.
I was all into it. Now, I think this is a fascinating pair to discuss this movie because where I come from, the South, high school football is very much a massive deal, a religion. I don't think you come from a place that treats it the same.
My high school didn't have football.
Well, there you go. And plus, you playing football would have been disgusting. You would have been killed.
No, I would have had to have been like a punter or kicker, right?
I don't think your leg could do anything
probably
strong
not.
Enough to be a punter
no,
or a
I,
kicker.
I didn't play football.
Maybe a holder?
Mm. And what did you play?
I was a receiver.
Mm-hmm. Huh. You're not really built like a receiver.
You know, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I,
just
unlike
ate
you,
a lot of food
I put
then,
on
or?
A lot of weight. Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. I live a happy lifestyle, mm-hmm. and I don't waste away, and I don't look emaciated. Mm. So,
I was thinking, I haven't seen any obese wide receivers, so it must have been kind of a weird town you go to.
6'5", 180. First of all, West Point, Mississippi is the number one high school football program in the state of Mississippi, so put some respect on our name.
I don't know. No,
I was 6'5", 180 in high school. I was very skinny. I was ugly skinny, like to the point where like I was like you, but I was 6'5".
Right.
But Friday night,
I'm 6'2".
Huh?
I'm 6'2". I don't weigh anything close to 185.
You're not 6'2".
I am.
You ain't no goddamn.
Well, stand up.
No, I'm not going to stand up.
Let's go.
I'm not going to stand up. I'm sitting down. Why would I stand up?
Stand up. I'm not 6'2".
Okay, you're 6'2".
No shit.
I don't know why you're so angry.
I'm not angry. You just called me a liar.
You've been hostile towards me lately. Do you know that?
Let's go over.
Look at me. I'm sitting on this show with you. I'm trying to build your brand. I'm trying to make Chris Klemmer a big deal.
Do you think you're hostile to me?
Remember the last guy that tried to do it, he wanted to fucking kill himself.
No, he's very happy. What have you think about how you've been hostile to me?
Name one.
So it just happened. I said I'm this tall, and he's like, "No, you're not. You called me already. You called me
that's witty
emaciated.
Banter. That's witty banter.
That's what I'm doing. Witty banter.
That's repartee. That's what
I'm doing. I don't think you like. I don't think you like when it comes back to you. I don't think a lot of people around here maybe give it back to you as much as
you know. Rapport is one of those words that when I was growing up and I was reading books, I would read books and then I would take in media through watching, of course. And I knew what the word rapport meant, but when I would read, I didn't know that rapport was actually rapport. So I had another word that meant rapport in my mind that I read, and then so I never knew what rapport was spelled like growing up.
Well, people – actually, this is a Kirk Minahan thing. You brought him up. He would often say it's a good thing when people like mispronounce – like don't say the right words because it proves they're like a heavy-duty reader. Like because if you're young and you're
reading – they come up with their own ideas of what the word
is. Right, but there's nothing wrong with that. At least they know the word at all.
Yeah, Horst Duver's another one.
Yes. It doesn't look like it's said right.
So we're talking Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
Maybe as a host, give us some structure.
Have you explained the plot of Friday Night Lights?
No.
High school football.
You had never seen Friday Night Lights.
No.
And you have seen it now.
Yeah.
And I have asked you in the office, what'd you think? And you will never answer me.
No.
So I've been waiting 2 weeks to hear this. What'd you think?
This is a very well-made film. This is probably the best football movie. I like Any Given Sunday more. Any Given Sunday is a movie that I think has like higher highs and lower lows. It's a messy movie. It's Oliver Stone. It's all over the place. This is a very good movie that I honestly, it's very hard for me to critique. This is not a movie I'm really looking forward to talking about, honestly, because I'm not fair. I cannot, I really tried. I think I do a pretty good job having a blank slate in my head, but for this, I couldn't. I couldn't get this show out of my head. It's shot by Peter Berg. Peter Berg directed this. Peter Berg also created and directed the pilot of Friday Night Lights, the show. They use the same soundtrack with Explosions by the Sky. Connie Britton plays the wife of the coach, Billy Bob Thornton, here. She's obviously the wife in Friday Night Lights, the show. It's just so damn similar to the show without the characters I love. So I kept kind of getting, and I kept trying to go back into it and trying to enjoy it. Also, the movie has a much more difficult, it's a much more difficult thing to do because, a higher degree of difficulty because it's a true story. Where the show is fake.
So I guess where I come off of the show is I tried to watch the show. I watched the first, like three episodes and I could not get into it.
I'm shocked. I thought you'd love it.
I probably would. Maybe it wasn't hitting me right in that moment. You know, Tim Riggins was 17 years old, 16 years old, and he had adult problems. He was a 38-year-old man with a drinking problem. Like, that's not realistic. And I never got on the show because, to me, I saw the movie first and read the book, and it felt like a very fictionalized, bastardized version of realness, which this is. Now, that's not to say this is real, because they took a lot of liberties here in converting the book to the...
But that's anytime. I hate
it is anytime,
that.
But
that could be
some of them are questionable.
Okay.
Some of them are questionable. Like, one of the entire character's arc is just a lie. And this is the best football movie, period. I don't think there's any discussion. Any Given Sunday, to me, is one of those near misses. It's a lot like Tin Cup, where there's a lot, so much good there, and the idea and the actors and everything is almost there, but it just never really crosses the finish line for me, whereas this one does. This one, to me, and I remember sitting in the theaters, I took a very ugly girl to see it in early 2004, I believe, very ugly. that you couldn't believe how ugly she was.
Why did you choose to go out with this young lady?
That's the choices I had back then, brother.
What? Why? You mentioned you were a football, star. You were very thin.
First of all,
strong.
I never played football past seventh grade. I didn't say I was a football star.
Oh, so you didn't play high school football?
I didn't play high. I played basketball.
Oh.
Yeah. So, we go to the theater, and I just remember sitting there about 40 minutes in thinking, this is the greatest. This is my favorite movie. This is my favorite movie. And I got to the end of the theater, and I was like, this is my favorite movie. When I watched it on DVD 6 months later, it didn't hold the same appeal to me. I don't know why. I think there's a first watch syndrome here, which is I don't know that it holds up as much 10 watches in.
Did you go to other movies with this ugly woman and maybe enjoyed them more? Maybe she is somehow like a
bonding agent to me in good movies.
Yes.
That she
makes you appreciate good movies more.
That I'm so locked in on the screen.
Anything to avoid looking at her?
Right. Yeah. Oh my God, look at this. Yeah. Maybe I got to think about which one of my favorite movies came out in like 2004, 2005, and it was See, I got to do the correlation
right
there. But yeah, this is a you said it right. It's a fantastically well-made movie.
Yes.
But as good as it is, I do think there are some flaws. I think there are some issues that I don't like about it that stick out, that glare more to me the more I watch it.
The quarterback character is just boring. I am bored
by
him.
He's a sad sack of shit.
But, like, we don't really understand why he's so sad. Like,
yeah.
I feel it's very muddy. And I understand, once again, the degree of difficulty is so high for this. It is a real. Maybe this guy's just a boring guy. And that's what they had to work with.
Let's just start from the beginning.
Okay.
So, you start, and they really. This movie does an incredible job of how important high school football is in Texas. There are other movies who have attempted that. Varsity Blues did it pretty well. That was just a shitty movie.
It's
otherwise.
Not a bad movie though.
But it follows the same.
It's not as well made as this.
Follows the same premise, you know, of how it's life or death out there and stuff like that. The first scene is the quarterback sitting at the dinner table, the breakfast table, going over plays with his mom, who's obviously sick. I like the way they throw you right into the season. As soon as he gets done with that, he gets up out of breakfast, and you got Boobie Miles, the running back. He's running to the field, and you see like eight players in their journeys to drive to the practice field and have their first day of practice. 5 minutes into the movie, you're in your first day of practice in August in Texas high school football.
Yep.
And you go through the ups and downs of the season, and it feels like a Hollywoodized documentary, right?
Yeah.
Which is what it is.
It is what it is, yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. It's just when I was watching it last night, there were a couple of things that I just didn't like at all.
What do you mean? Maybe.
Okay. I think some of the characters, the real life characters, to Hollywoodize them, they made them too stereotypical, maybe, or they made them too outlandish. I'll give a couple of examples. Okay, Tim McGraw's character. He's the dad of one of the running backs. He's the dad.
And I think it gives a very good performance.
Very good performance. Good actor.
Yeah, he is.
Within 5 minutes of the first practice, he is on the field beating his son.
Yeah.
In front of everybody. Like, no, I understand, okay, if I want to create a narrative, if I want to create a story arc, I want a conflict between the – 5 minutes in the first practice, he's beating his son and the coaches and the players aren't doing anything about it?
In fairness to the movie – This does take place in the mid-80s. It's not obviously even taking place when this movie was made. I think that character is very poorly written.
Yeah.
He's always bad until maybe the very end.
There's nothing likable about him.
No, and I think we also need to kind of understand why this character is so upset. And this movie doesn't seem to take a lot of breaks to understand why people are behaving the way they are.
No, it just kind of says they are what they are.
Right.
The second one is the character of Boobie Miles' uncle.
I like this.
There's nothing. There's nothing that's not true to form of a doting uncle or an uncle who gets
right
attached to a star athlete. You're gonna get a lot of those in the South, especially. That's very key. But I just thought the acting, the casting, and the stereotypical nature of his dialogue was like he's just at the first practice. He's just turned around and said, "Hey, y'all, see that boy out there? Man, he can sure run, can't he? He can pass too." He's like being this carnival barker. It's like nobody talks like that. Nobody talks the way this guy talks in the movie. And I thought that those are two I noticed last night. I was like, there were some characters they should have dialed up, some characters they should have dialed back.
So one scene I love with that uncle yeah. was when they're talking to...
In the car?
No, actually, with Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay.
And he's like, they get the doctor's report, and or they don't have the doctor's report. They basically went to the doctor, and they were told, look, your season's over.
Yeah.
They tell Billy Bob Thornton, oh, no, he's fine. He can play. And he's just very weak in that role. And he's like, he basically, Boo Miles has in the entire room, and the uncle is a small fraction of that space. And I like that because some people are just weak. Some people are that way. Some people are tight Ds. And you know, some people are, especially with someone like Boo Miles, who's so gregarious, you can see how he'd swallow up all the oxygen in the room. And some people just take a backseat and more comfortable with that. But we don't see that in film a lot. So I actually really enjoyed seeing someone not be the hero. Because I think in a poorly written movie, he's like, wait, you know, Booby, that's not the case. And I'm going to show you the way to salvation. Instead, he's just like, yep, what he said.
The character of Booby Miles, I believe, is a little bit...
It's a little much.
Too much. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing really in the book that suggests he was walking around the locker room speaking in the third person the entire time and acting like he was, I mean, he was an outgoing guy and he was a boastful guy, but I don't think he wasn't saying things like Booby gonna knock him out with Nikes on my feet. Like it was just a lot.
Okay, I'll ask this because I hear this a lot with The Last of Us, the show on HBO. So I'd write the weekly recaps for that. And I've never played the game.
Yeah.
And people be like, but you didn't play the game. How can you? It's like, well, it doesn't matter. I'm watching the show. I'm not commenting on the game. I'm watching the show. Has reading the book made you like this movie less? Because it probably shouldn't matter.
No, because there was such a big gap of reading the book to watching the movie. I mean, when the movie came out, I was just dying for it. I mean, I was a fan of the movie before I saw the movie. That's how big I was into it. Now I've said I feel like I've done this on several shows, but I've focused on like three negatives on a show on a movie that has probably 97% positives.
No, that's fine. I mean, I think that's why I like doing a show like this with you. I'm thinking of a compliment here, is because like people, I'm tired of hearing the same like I love it. And it's like, you know, rewatch was Bill Simmons and just like you know, giving the movie a blowjob the entire time. I want to hear the negative. That's what I enjoy hearing about, even if it is a generally positive movie like this.
All right, I got a positive.
All right.
Billy Bob Thornton is a great actor, fine actor.
Mm-hmm.
Plays a lot of roles, great. I could watch him be a high school football coach all day long.
See,
you didn't love it?
I didn't. And I love... Okay, I shouldn't say that. I love Billy Bob Thornton. I think he's a great actor. I think he's best when it's something like Sling Blade or A Simple Plan, where he's playing these like weird characters.
Yeah.
When he's a kind of a more... Not that a high school football coach is a normal guy, but a more normal...
No, he's the most measured person in this movie.
Right. And he pulls it off. It's very well acted. This isn't a criticism necessarily. I might have liked to see someone else in this role, but I mean, I'm really nitpicking because like he was still very good. I guess not what I expected. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess
I walked away kind of confused with his role in this.
Well, the thing is the idea of a high school football team in Texas, a state championship high school football team in Texas, and the structure of this movie is to make you realize this is such a circus. It's such a whirlwind. It's life or death for 90 people inside the program and 90,000 in the greater Odessa area. It is life or death. And in the middle of this whirlwind, this tornado, is just this calm, measured guy. And I understand it's Billy Bob Thornton, you don't see him like that. But it's almost he's almost like the tetherball pole that the rest of the world goes around in this movie, and I think this movie needed that back because a lot of the other characters are out there.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, that's why to go back to the show for a second, like Kyle Chandler is so good, and Connie Britton, her role is a little bigger in the show, a lot bigger in the show. But they are kind of you're right, like that the eye of the hurricane, like they're the
calm, eye of the hurricane's the
calm in the storm there, and the town itself. In the show and here too is evil. Like they are just ending to win. They don't care about anything else. They don't care about the coach. Everything's disposable. The real heroes are more the show than the movie, but the coach and his wife are the real heroes. I think it's the case here too to some extent.
Yeah, but there's certain players here too.
Same with the show.
There's certain players here too that are very light. You know, they show you the good and the bad. You know, Ivory Christian is the big defensive player here who is a disciplinarian of his own other players, and I think he was the only player that went D1 out of this group. The guy that plays the booster club leader, is he also in the TV show?
Brad Leland, yes.
So he does he play the same role in the TV show?
Yeah, it's more defined. It's a bigger role in the show, and he's quite good.
So in this one, he's just whenever they need an evil guy to come around and say, hey, this is what you're playing for. Because I remember there's a scene, and I think it's a Walmart, but if it's not a Walmart, it's a Walmart adjacent.
Yeah, they're in the park. It's a Walmart.
Yeah, the coach and his wife are walking out, and all they did was go shopping, and he just pulls up in his car. They like, it'd be a real shame if y'all lost, and just basically tell him you're going to be fired if you don't win.
Right.
But yeah, what a son of a bitch that guy is. He is also a son of a bitch in the show.
Yeah, he's in it. He's more defined. But he, at the end of the day, he isn't. He is like a bad person. Like, they try to make him kind of good, or at least proceed to be good. But by the end of the run, you're like, all these people are bad. Like, all of their motivations are bad. It is so. You grew up in. I'm kind of curious about this. So you grew up in this town where, I don't know much about West Point, Mississippi at all. But why would, like, to me it's so weird. Like, why would anyone care about high school football that much? It seems like it's kind of sad.
Small town. That's what you've got. That's what you've got. That's the identity.
But like,
of
I grew up
town.
In New Hampshire. We didn't have a lot either. But I wasn't like gonna like as a 40-year-old man get that excited about a 15-year-old boy.
Right, let me just tell you this. I'm from a town of about 8,000 people. All right, it's about 50. When I was growing up, 55% black, 45% white. It's very, very diverse town as far as black and white goes. It had. A Brian Foods plant, which was Brian Foods down south, is like Oscar Mayer, hot dogs, bacon, stuff like that. That was our lifeblood. That's where everybody worked. 8,000 people in the town, 2,000 of them worked there, and their sons played at West Point High School. And it was just a hardworking town. And throughout the years, Friday nights, football. We go. Starkville's a much bigger town with a lot more money. We go beat the fuck out of them. And Tupelo. Tupelo is 40,000 people, and they got a lot of birthplace of Elvis, and we'd go out there and beat the fuck out of them, you know? And it's just like, that's what our point of pride was. And that's in West Texas, where you have a city every 25, 30 miles, you might dislike that city, but on Friday night, you and everybody in the town could get in the car and go beat the shit out of them. And
so was
just,
it more about like town rivalries or town pride than it is
town pride
than
town
it is
pride.
About the football even?
The football is the manifestation of the town pride.
But the core of it, the reason people are so obsessed with it there is that?
That's, we all want to be a winner. We all want to be associated with a winner, right?
I guess it's odd to me that you choose to associate your victories or losses
but if you
with
think,
like a 14-year-old boy. I just don't understand.
But if you think about that logically, okay, what inherently is more natural or better about growing up in New England and putting your hopes and dreams in a 27-year-old Dominican who you just like them because they signed a piece of paper saying they'll play and wear this hat.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing different about that. It's all weird. Sports fandom as a whole is really
absolutely.
It's really fucked up.
It's really weird.
It's really weird. We get absolutely our days can be made or broken by what strangers do wearing a shirt.
Yes.
So inherently, is there any difference in me getting excited about the 15-year-old who wears WPHS on his shirt or the 29-year-old from fucking Walla Walla, Washington, who the Red Sox picked up last week? Is there anything inherently different? No. The answer's no.
To its core, no. I guess there's other ways to look at it. It's like, all right, well, you're watching the best. It's kind of it's exciting watching your professional teams win. But I mean, to your point, though, I guess it's, you know, rooting for the high school kids, at least those are people that you know and kind of care about.
That's
and
you,
care
yes.
about you. Then, like you mentioned, like, right, like my favorite athlete of all time, Pedro Martinez. Pedro Martinez has no idea if I'm alive or dead, does not care an ounce about me.
Yeah.
Has no idea I exist.
And it doesn't matter if you
are. And he's my favorite athlete. So, like, you know, so I guess to that extent, it does make sense. I also understand, like, town pride. It's just so different than how I grew up and, like, how my entire region kind of, even, you know, whether it be New York or the whole Northeast. Like, we just don't have an understanding of this.
Well, I mean, this country is different, right?
Yeah.
All over the country. I mean, it's not like this passion doesn't exist for high school football in Idaho. It doesn't exist in Montana. It doesn't exist in Maine. But in the South, it exists. And in Texas, it exists tenfold. And, you know, you got to understand, Texas is kind of its own world. It's its own world. There are states. Then there's Texas.
Right.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's 800 miles across. Their towns are, you know, dotted here and there. There's tiny towns that there are 50 people in. There's Dallas. Like, it's just a massive, huge world. It's basically a country unto itself. And high school football is like, you know, what's different about growing up in England and just worshiping the local soccer clubs?
Yeah, no. Well, I guess I attribute that more to, like, kind of like you said, like rooting for the Jets if you live in New York, or rooting for the Red Sox in New England. I guess it's just different for me. It's like these are kids. Like, I have a hard time.
And
kind
one
of,
more thing. One more thing.
Yeah.
I could play if I lived in Odessa. Presumably, I would grow up looking up at the guys that play on the team.
Right.
I could be one of the guys on the team, and then I get out in the world, and I look back at the guys on the team. We're all one.
But as with this movie, though, it does show this very much. Like, the other side of that, though, is incredibly sad. Like, these people, it's kind of inferred in the film that these people peak at 17. And it's like, what a horrible way to live your life. Like, I can't imagine. I mean, I try to always have as much fun as possible all the time, you know, try to have the best life possible. Obviously, everyone, I think, does, but, like, I'm having the best time of my life now. Like, I would hate to think, like, oh, I peaked at 17. Now you have another 60 years
to
do what?
Who cares if you peaked at 17?
I think it's a sad way to live.
Who cares if you – what does it matter?
We're all going to peak. 60 years that you are looking back going, oh, I wish it was
this
day.
What if you peak at 44?
That sounds much better than peaking at 17.
Yeah, because you're 43. But if you were 16, 17 would sound great.
No, I don't think so, because I think – I don't want to spend that much time looking back. I think that's a bad way to live life. I think you should always want to look forward.
Most people never peak at all.
Oh, that's not true. Everyone peaks in theory. Maybe the peak is very small, or maybe the peak is very large.
Most people never peak at all.
What's your peak?
You're looking at it, brother.
Me too.
Well,
how about that?
Mine's that's like Everest compared to a water tower.
See, and you wonder why I mean to you.
That's like Mount Everest against an adjustable basketball goal that isn't even up at the highest level.
See, that's very mean. It's a very mean thing to say.
I can be mean to you.
So I can't be mean to you.
You like. Do you like this movie? Because I was nervous you weren't going to like it.
I respect it more than I like it, if that makes any sense. And the reasons I don't like it are not the movie's
fault. I feel that way about Moneyball. Now, I do like Moneyball a lot, but I respect it more than I like it.
I just love that movie.
You love that movie. That's fine. But you understand that sports movies can do that to you, where you can love a movie that is you don't even respect it that much. Like, you recognize that that's not really that well made of a movie, but I just love it. In fact, we're going to talk about one in a minute that I like a lot more than I respect it.
See, the entirety for me for this, where I keep saying respect and not love, it's all because of the TV show. I'm really blinded by it, and it's not fair to the movie. The movie came first. The movie was much harder to make.
I just don't know how a sports fan, unless this came out in 2004, so we were 25 years old.
And I went to a ton of movies that year.
We were 25 years old.
I was living in Florida. I was bored.
What keeps you from seeing this movie?
I don't know. I don't have an answer.
If a sports movie comes out, I'm seeing it, regardless if I think it's going to be good or not.
I want to see when during the year this came out.
I want to say it came out in the...
Can we call up that ugly woman you went with to this movie?
Oh, God, I don't want to call her.
Yeah, I know why I didn't see it.
Football season?
No.
Oh,
October 8th, 2004.
Red...
I was locked into playoffs.
You were busy, yeah.
I was watching the playoffs like crazy.
2004.
I was in
Sneaky,
Florida. Yeah.
2004, one of the better years we've had, by the way. 2004 was a great year.
Just in general?
Just in general. You had...
It's an election year. Yeah.
It was. I don't mind that. It was an election year. Mickelson won the Masters, which... am I right? Yeah, I think Mickelson won the Masters, which that was a long time coming. The Red Sox won the World Series,
which
was fantastic.
Wild. And the way they came back into the Yankees was great.
Yeah, yeah. It was... who won the NBA? Pistons beat the Lakers, I believe.
That was kind of a... That was a random one.
Yeah.
And then who won? Was the Patriots won the Super Bowl that year?
Didn't they win 04, 03, 04?
I think so.
Yeah, so they would have been the defending Super Bowl champions, they would have won the next one.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You don't like the Patriots?
No, I hate the Patriots. I'm a Jets fan.
Oh, where are you from?
I know. Well, I lived in New York till I was 9.
Yeah.
So I was a Mets and Jets fan.
Okay.
Moved to New Hampshire in 89. There was no cable. Like, I couldn't watch Mets games. So I just watched Red Sox because there's nothing else to. I would listen
to the
games.
You didn't have cable? How did you watch the Red Sox games?
I had cable. I didn't have like the package, like the extra innings package. I didn't get the extra innings package until 99. So then I could start watching the Mets again.
I want to talk about a couple more, and then I guess we'll move on soon. The actor who played the running back, Booby Miles.
Mm-hmm. Derek Luke, I believe.
He also played Antoine Fisher.
Yes.
Very good actor.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think he'd have a bigger career?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't you think – we're going to talk about – he could have been Chadwick Boseman, right? Something similar, an arc similar?
I'd say no. I think Boseman actually was a really talented actor.
Yes. Like, supremely talented.
Really, really good.
But, I mean, let me just say this. Tomorrow, Creed 3 comes out.
Mm-hmm.
If they decided to reboot that idea in 2004
– right.
Don't you think –
Derek
Luke is playing
Adonis
Creed.
He's in the running.
Yeah.
He's in talks for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely – I think he's the front runner.
Maybe.
It's crazy how timing affects things like this.
Of course. I think he's very good. Yeah, his career didn't have the path I would have expected, especially after seeing this too. I'm like, why didn't this guy have a bigger career?
I'm looking up his IMDb right now. We'll see what all he was
the
in.
The football players in this movie bored me. I'm not going to – other than Booby Miles did not bore me. But the other players did.
And that's one of the things I don't like.
Yeah.
Because Chris Comer is the third string running back on here. And yep. here's two problems with this movie. Number one, Chris Comer, the first time he goes into a game this year, he forgets his helmet, so they have to send Booby Miles back into a blowout. Booby Miles injures his leg because Chris Comer fucked up.
Right.
Not true. He got hurt in a preseason jamboree, the preseason jamboree at another team. Like, he just got hurt in normal play. That didn't happen. And Chris Comer is treated as a bumbling idiot here.
Yes, he is.
And he's a bad player.
He never really gets redemption either.
Chris Comer, in real life, a mega recruit that led them to a state championship the next year and signed with Texas A&M. This was and led them and was a good player for them. Chris Comer was a hell of a player. Chris Comer played for the Dallas Cowboys.
Why? That's bizarre because he's
– I don't know why they wrote him like this.
And he never – like I kept waiting – for him to, all right, well, here's the moment in the championship game where he's going to then, you know, have his great moment. He never really gets, he's just, like you said, he's kind of just, like you said, an idiot who ruined the season for them in some ways.
Derek Luke from Jersey City, New Jersey, by the way. Trying to see Derek Luke's movies.
Antoine Fisher came out, I believe, in 2002. This comes out in 2004. You're thinking,
but he had
right,
a couple of other big ones.
Sky's the limit.
He had a couple of other big ones back then. Glory Road? Was he in Glory Road? Was he in Glory Road?
I don't know. I saw it once.
Friday night, yeah, he was. He went back to back. Friday Night Lights, Glory Road. I thought he was in bigger things than that.
The one time I saw it, it bored the hell out of me. I don't know if it.
Yeah, it's not great. What else do you want to talk about with this movie?
I do want to mention my two. You're not going to care about this, but people watching my two favorite TV characters, maybe top five all time, and it's Kyle Chandler.
That's the coach.
Coach.
Okay.
And Matt Saracen.
Quarterback.
Who plays the backup quarterback. And those two, I root for those guys like I root for Rocky Balboa. I just love those two men so much. The way that show was made was such heart.
Why are you talking about the show?
Because
we're reviewing the movie.
I couldn't get the show out of my head. I just want to bring it up real quick. I watched that show and I just cry. Sometimes I bawled twice watching that show. It was so emotional. I never had the same emotion watching the movie.
Yeah.
And I think part of it might be because I would say this. If anyone hasn't seen the show but wants to, watch the movie first. You're doing yourself a disservice if you go the other way around.
Well, that would be just stupid. If you haven't seen either, watch the one that's 2 hours and not the one that's 200. Yeah.
And the one that came out first and the one that deserves. If anything, this movie made me like the show a little less. Because all right, you kind of, I'd say ripped off, it's the same guy.
I mean, for as many ways as they're connected, they're not connected at all, right?
Right.
They're connected with a couple of actors.
The stylistic, they're the same. They shot the same way, the same music.
I feel like this movie, and I didn't watch much Friday Night, I feel like this is shot in a grittier way.
Oh, I think the show is shot very gritty.
Is it really?
Yeah.
See, I didn't get
football,
very far into
the football sequences are especially, I don't know, I just, I really, the way Peter Berg's obsessed with oil welling, oil, which I imagine being a Northeast kid, I'd be obsessed too. Like, we're so weird. They show that a bunch in this show.
Well, that's all that's out there.
Yeah.
You ever even been out in that part of the world?
Well, I've been to El Paso. I've been to Houston.
Yeah.
I used to work in sales, so I'd go to, bigger cities. But I didn't drive around, the bowels of Texas.
Yeah, Odessa, Midland, ain't nothing there. Yeah. It's just, you're driving forever, forever, forever. All of a sudden, there's a ugly little town, and you're driving forever again. It's just nothing. There's a reason why these particular towns, especially, were obsessed with high school football. They're very much, they're bubbles. They're little bubble societies. And that's what they got. What else do I want to talk about this movie? This movie does try to give you the emotional moments.
It does.
It has the Winchell's relationship or his protectiveness over his mother
which is just
doesn't really flesh itself out.
Yeah, it
it's
work.
Confusing.
We never really know how sick she is, why she's sick.
He fucks this girl at a party, and the girl's like, oh, how come nobody comes to your house? And all his answers are one word answer, oh, just can't come. It's really weird. Winchell's kind of relationship with Gary Gaines, where they go to the coin flip,
yep,
and he's like, no accidents or something like that, whatever mm-hmm. he says. And then at the end, Tim McGraw, who's just been a piece of shit the whole movie to his son. His son, they come up short, they don't win the state championship, right, and he hugs him at the end. And that's nice, but it certainly doesn't hit the emotional highs that I believe the TV show.
It kind of aggravated me. because it let the Tim McGraw character off the hook. He's like, oh, no, he's a good guy in the end. He's like, no, this guy's a scumbag. This guy should have his kids taken away. Yeah, fuck this guy.
This guy was a piece of fucking shit.
Absolute bad person.
I'm not kidding. If you've never seen it, the first scene of the movie is the first practice of August.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the field beating the shit out of his kid.
For a while.
Because his kid fumbled the ball.
Right.
Why? How come he can't hold the ball?
In a practice.
How come he can't hold the ball? Oh, at a practice. We're talking about practice.
We're talking about practice here.
And Coach Gary Gaines, we're talking about this measure guy, is just standing there watching it.
That's a tough spot for him. I don't think
that's a tough spot at all.
Dad and son.
Hey, get your fucking ass off the field.
I guess. I guess you're right. It's like the dad and son thing. You don't want to get in the middle of that.
Get off the field. Yeah. We're working here.
Yeah.
Deal with them at home if you
right.
Got to.
Yeah. No, that's the right thing to do. You should be. Have you ever thought about coaching?
I don't have the mentality. I get angry. I'm quick to anger, and I don't really have a very good strategic mind. I have a lot of storage.
Yeah.
But not a lot of running power.
Okay.
I don't know how to say that. But I don't.
I think you're making your case for yourself right now.
How?
Giving you shit. Yeah.
I've coached one team in my life. It was my daughter's 10-year-old softball team, and I hated it.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, we went 0-8. But that was only there was only two teams in the league, and the other team had the good pitcher in the league.
Okay.
There was nothing we could do.
You just played them 8 times?
Played them 8 times.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, that's bizarre. Yeah. All right. So what do you give this movie, 1 to 100?
What do I give this movie, 1 to 100? Do we have the list?
I don't.
Moneyball,
I gave it 96.
I gave it 92.
Yep.
Hoosiers, I gave it 98.
You gave it 75, I believe.
No, you gave it 83. I remember that.
83?
I remember that, right. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think I might have given it a 97. Friday Night Lights, I'm going to give a 91.
Wow.
Okay. I think it is the best football movie of all time. I put it one slot behind what I had Moneyball at. Football is not a sport that has been captured in movie as well as it probably should have.
No.
So when you compare it to baseball and boxing, football is lagging behind. Even basketball. I think basketball has better movies. Football, if you're an up-and-coming filmmaker and you want to do something, I think we need a football epic.
The teams are too big. They're wearing helmets. I don't really understand why it doesn't work, but it hasn't.
This is a good movie, though.
It absolutely is.
And there are good football movies, but I don't know. This might be a great movie, but there's no other great football movies, right? So I give this a 91.
I'm going to give it an 80, and that might not be fair. I could not get the show out of my mind, not the movie's fault.
You can't picture a world where you've never seen the show?
No, I tried like hell. I've never had this problem. I did a pop culture show before this, and I've been critiquing movies for a few years now. I've never had such an issue. I'm like, I kept trying to like...
What was that noise?
I was like a windshield wiper trying to like make the show go away in my brain.
You're about the size of a windshield wiper.
Yes, yeah, and I move just as fast too.
If you had a twin brother,
that's right. Just, that's right.
So you have an 80.
80.
See, I don't have beef with that.
Yeah.
I
don't give you 91 either.
Let me tell you, I when it comes to rewatchable sports movies, this to me is a very good to great movie. I don't know how rewatchable it is.
Oh, I was going to say the same thing. Any Given Sunday is so much more rewatchable.
This is not a movie. In fact, when I watched it 20 years ago, saw it in theaters, and I saw it 6 months later, it didn't hold up. I've probably seen this movie less than 5 times in my life. I've seen this movie more than I've seen this. And this came out a lot later.
Yeah.
And I've seen, like, Major League, for example.
It's much worse.
Major League I've seen hundreds of times. Hoosiers I've seen hundreds of times. Less than 5 for this one. Last night was either 4 or 5. So... it's not that rewatchable, but it is fantastic.
Very well made, good performances all around, very well directed.
What's Peter Berg from?
He's an actor. He used to be in the show Chicago Hope on CBS for years.
I know, but he did something famous. What movie did
he...
What?
He did, what is it, Soul Survivor. He did Benghazi movie. He did that with John Krasinski, I believe.
All right.
Yeah, I don't. He's most known for Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
The movie and the show.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Want to talk about draft day?
I don't like the way you said that.
Want to talk about draft day.
There you go. Yeah, let's talk about draft day.
Okay.
We have, like I previously mentioned, we have done movies on the show that were epically bad.
Yes.
That were entertainingly bad. This movie is a popular one to hate on Twitter. It's a popular one, and people say it's a bad movie. It is not a good movie, but it is certainly not the pits of hell that we've subjected ourselves to so far.
It is not.
This is a watchable movie. A very watchable movie. I have watched this a lot.
What does that mean, watchable?
Okay, if you've seen it once, you're at home 6 months from now.
Yeah.
You're bored.
Yeah.
You're flipping. TNT, it's on.
You
don't ride it?
Not even for a second.
I would ride this a little bit. Immediately.
There's so many options. I mean, like, you have, you know, all the streaming services. I can watch any movie I want. I don't really flip around very much anymore.
Yeah, flipping around is kind
but
of
But I'll try to put myself in the shoes of, like, 15 years ago when I was.
See,
I still would not have stopped now.
I also watch, I have YouTube TV. And,
whoa, calm down.
And what does that mean?
You're just really showing your wealth off now.
Is that expensive?
No, I'm just fucking.
Yeah, I have YouTube TV, and it caters to, it knows what I want to watch.
Yeah.
So I don't have to flip more most at all.
It's just like hillbilly screaming and like overalls, like, oh!
it's hee-haw reruns. It's Roy Clark sitting on a stump talking, dickhead. But yeah, so draft day. First of all, I wrote down.
I have some notes too.
For Friday Night Lights, I wrote down 4 good things and 3 bad things. Friday Night Lights, it really gets me going in a football mood. The movie gets right into it. It feels like high school football and good actors. For bad, I wrote characters are too over the top. Some of the scenarios take away from the realness of it. But for draft day, the first thing I wrote down was Costner. If Kevin Costner's in a sports movie, you've got me. He's the greatest of all time when it comes to making sports movies.
You got me watching it. Doesn't mean I'm gonna. You got me intrigued. You got me.
Is he the greatest of all time when it comes to sports movies? Tell me a better one.
I don't know if this counts, but Sylvester Stallone is better.
Why wouldn't it count?
Rocky's because he's kind of known just for one. You know what I mean? He did a soccer movie too, Victory, which I haven't seen since I was like 5 years old. But
so body of work encompassing other movies, franchises, and sports. Is there a more prolific actor than Kevin Costner?
Prolific, I guess. If you mean prolific by variety, then no.
Bull Durham, Field of Dreams.
Tin Cup. For the Love of the Game.
For Love of the Game. This movie.
Well, this movie is not one I'd
It's add. On there. I'm going to say something right now. McFarlane USA. Really good.
I haven't seen that.
We're also missing a major one. What?
I don't know. I thought we hit them all.
That's all in sports movies? We're missing something.
Maybe.
Anyway, he's a sports movie Hall of Famer.
Oh, of
he's
course.
The GOAT. He's the GOAT.
Oh, I say Stallone is, but okay. I'm not going to fight with you too much.
Why do you have to be this way? Why do you have to be this way? Why can't you just accept what I'm saying?
I was going to agree with you because you said it.
How could anybody disagree that Kevin Costner is the GOAT in sports movies?
I just did. I think Stallone is much better. I think Costner's great. I hate this.
Can I ask you a question?
This is like Willie Mays, Joe DiMaggio. It's like,
can I ask you a question?
Both are great.
No, first of all, Willie Mays is much better.
Exactly, but both
much better than Joe DiMaggio.
I don't argue with you. I'm just saying
Joe DiMaggio, the most overrated athlete in the history of American sports.
I actually agree with you on that. Okay, fine. Mantle or Mays. Like,
Joe DiMaggio's a piece of shit. He made people introduce him in front of elderly Ted Williams as the greatest living ball player. Ted Williams took a shit all over Joe DiMaggio.
Agree. I don't think that has any relevance in his playing.
Joe DiMaggio.
DiMaggio's a great player.
Won the MVP in a year. Ted Williams won the goddamn Triple Crown.
Right.
1947.
Yes.
They gave him the MVP.
1941, Ted Williams hit .406. Joe DiMaggio won the MVP.
It's unbelievable how Joe DiMaggio, how playing in New York can
Although I will
make
say
you...
in 41 they won, 47 they won. I mean, the Red Sox only won once.
But the Yankees won a lot.
Yeah, they did.
And there's
and
a
Joe
lot.
DiMaggio's a big reason for that.
Was he ever the greatest living ball player as long as Ted Williams was living? No.
No, he wasn't the greatest living ball player ever.
No. He wasn't. Stan Musial was better.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean,
if you told me I could only draft one, I'm going to start a team tomorrow, and they're both starting their career, Musial, every day.
Yeah. And Williams, too.
Williams. Mantle.
Mays.
Bonds.
Aaron. Yeah.
Without question.
Trout.
I keep going.
A-Rod.
A-Rod, probably, yeah. It's the steroids, I don't really know, but like, yeah, right. I mean, right. Griffey.
Pujols?
Well, There's been some accusations of steroids. Someone might have written a blog.
I like to think of Pujols as clean. For my sanity.
I don't think he was clean, but I don't have any proof.
They're going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame?
I have to vote for him, right? You'd have to.
Are they going to keep him out?
Oh, Pujols
again. What do you mean you say I have to vote? You don't have a Hall of Fame vote, do you?
Oh, I should.
I think you should get one.
I think so, too.
I'd vote for you to get one.
Thank you.
Even though I know more baseball history
than you
do.
That's not true at all. I think we've
done
that.
I do know more than
the sporkles we do daily.
But you have to say I know a lot.
You know an awful lot.
Yeah.
See, that's the difference. I can say you know an awful lot, but you need to be the best all the time. You can be like, oh, Chris is the best, but I'm really good, too. You're not confident enough in yourself. That's a sign.
Yeah, that's what I'm lacking, confidence.
It is. It's a facade. It's a show. You don't fool me, Mr. Emperor.
You want to talk about draft day?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. You had seen draft day?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
It stinks. It's stupid. But
it does stink.
It's nowhere near as bad as Eddie or Ed. Great word. Depths of Hell. This is not the Depths of Hell movie.
Yeah.
So this is not like historically awful. Actually, if any way, this is by far the most frustrating movie we've seen. Because this movie could be really good.
It could be really
good.
And
it's really dumb.
You've got Costner right there. You've got Dennis Leary, who works as the coach, right?
No, he does not work.
He does not work as the coach.
I think he
could work as the coach.
I don't think so at all.
You've got other actors. Is that Kai McBride sitting there?
Yeah. Owning
in Seattle?
Yeah.
You've got, like, actors.
Sam Elliott!
Sam Elliott!
Four lines! What are we doing?
You have Sam Elliott for four lines. That's one of the things I wrote down. Was I got Sam Elliott, and I'm using him for a phone call?
They don't even know if they share a scene together. It's four lines on a Motorola.
Sam Elliott didn't even have to come to the set.
No.
Sam Elliott just said, hey, is there a football field near you?
he drives 20 minutes through that.
That's all he had to do. Like, Sam, you have these actors at your disposal. You have this idea. The idea is good. But it is botched so severely by bad acting performances and by bad premises and by bad NFL draft strategy.
And don't forget one more thing. They're fucking the NFL the whole time. That does not work. I don't think you can do it and be that much in bed with the NFL. You need to be a little darker, a little more edge.
How are you going to make a draft day movie? That's dancing on the head of a pin, though, right? Because the NFL is not going to let you be dark and all that.
I feel like it went beyond even like a partnership. I feel like this was just like, they're just like, you know.
It was, no, this
Nick is entirely, you know.
This is propaganda for the NFL. This is like.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. That,
like Roger Goodell's dick is entirely up Ivan Reitman's ass this entire movie.
Yeah. If this is propaganda for the NFL. Now, I can handle that. I don't mind that. The NFL is so big and so great that I'm like, okay, well, if I got to look past that, fine. There's some good actors here delivering really shitty performances. But what really sinks this movie is not the acting, is not the NFL fucking whatever. It is the whoever was the consultant, whoever came up with the scenarios of the trades, whoever came up with the strategy they would use, whoever came up with these ideas that he would have the number 7 pick, and then he would trade for the number 1 pick, and then he would draft a guy who might have been top 20, and then he would trade back up to get number 6, and then he would trade for his original picks, and he would trade a top 5 pick for 3 second rounders. What? Nothing about the actual strategy and draft night machinations match up with reality at all. Not even if it got close, fine. It doesn't get close.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is Sonny a good GM, or is the Jaguars GM just horrific?
The rest of the fictional NFL in this movie has the mentality and the mindsets of 7-year-olds. He apparently can see into the future, and he can have these puppets throughout the entire NFL, because the Seattle guy that plays hardball with him is also a dunderhead.
Yep.
Jeff Carson at Jacksonville is, I don't know how he gets out of bed in the daytime. Like, he's the dumbest human being ever. And he's got a draft war room around him where he's looking around and says, yeah, that's a good deal, boss.
Have you ever heard trading 3 seconds for, like, was it the 6th pick overall?
It's the 6th pick overall.
That would never happen.
And so I think Sonny.
Right? Has that ever happened in NFL history?
No, of course not.
Second-round
picks are not that valuable.
Like, what? It's the only reason that he comes out of this like a rose, because of that one interaction. If you take the interaction away, he's a loser on draft night.
I mean, would I tell you, if I told you can have the 5th best something in the world, or I'll give you 3 of the 50th best, You keep the fifth best at all times.
I mean, even historically, I don't ever remember a trade of that even like coming close to happening.
Well, no, and
they just brush it off.
Well, the more crazy scenario to me is him trading three first round picks for the number one pick.
Okay.
That's not all that crazy.
No,
that's not crazy
at all.
But then, what does the son of a bitch do? He goes up to the podium and drafts a guy, Vontae Mack, who he could have gotten at seven originally.
Right.
So the entire premise of the movie is on this half-baked thing that never would have happened at all. Vontae Mack is a pass rusher from Wisconsin. Now, not only is his draft night scenario is unbelievable, but the lead up to the draft, the calls that he makes, the when he calls Sam Elliott and says, "Hey, did anybody go to your quarterback's birthday party?"
Right. Yes.
What? Hey, we're doing that on draft day. They've been in the combine. They've been in the draft process for 3 months.
They weren't. There's almost they didn't scout this guy at all. He was the number one pick. and the best thing is Sam Elliott, though, I will say, is just as frustrated as we are. Like, he's just like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, finally, a voice of reason."
Yeah, you're right. Bo Callahan didn't have anybody come to his birthday party. Good call.
All right. Yeah. All right. Later. That's how I feel like watching this movie. I'm Sam Elliott the whole time, like, just annoyed.
If you know how this movie has these quick cuts where it'll be this guy over here and he's talking on the phone to this guy.
Yep.
And it'll phase this guy out, and the whole screen will be there. If they had Kevin Costner on one side and Sam Elliott on the other, I almost want a movie where it phases Kevin Costner out, and I just follow Sam Elliott
around. Yeah. I would agree.
I wouldn't mind just seeing Sam Elliott coach Wisconsin for a season.
Do you know who directed this movie?
I don't know at all.
Ivan Reitman. It's his last movie ever directed. He directed Stripes. He directed Ghostbusters. He directed the movie Dave with Kevin Kline, which is quite good.
What a weird...
And this is his last movie. This movie, on paper... Ivan Reitman directs it. Kevin Costner, Chadwick Boseman, Sam Elliott about the NFL draft day.
Jennifer Garner,
who's a TV actress. I'm like, oh my God, I'm all in.
She's a star, though.
She's a TV actress. Her ceiling is here. Well, very attractive in Alias.
I mean,
knockout.
Listen.
And very attractive here. Well, I mean,
if I had to... here's the bad things I wrote down for this show.
Okay.
Trade scenarios I've already talked about.
Insane.
What's number two?
Jennifer Garner.
She is terrible.
She's a TV actress.
That's fine. You can keep saying that. But even,
like, what do you want?
I don't care if
what
she's.
Do you expect?
I don't care if she's a third grade play actress. In this movie, she's put in there to play a role, and she's god awful at it. She's wooden. She's when she's trying to talk football strategy, you just see right through it. And that's not saying a woman couldn't play this role. But not that one. Like, there's something about her. Just it doesn't work. It doesn't work. She's terrible.
There's a wild scene at the end where you have Kevin Costner, who's won an Oscar for directing, but he's been nominated for Best Actor for Dance with Wolves. Ellen Burstyn, nominated for several Academy Awards, won in 1974.
Is this his mom?
That's the mom.
Okay.
And then Jennifer Garner. And it's like, what? Like, one of these things is not like the other. What are we doing here? And she's getting just, you know, they're just acting the walls off of her, and she just can't do anything. And it's just, and you talk about how wooden she is. And it's just what she is. I mean, she seems like a very nice person in real life. She's a very good television actress. I think she's good maybe in some very supporting roles in film. But she's in way over her head here.
Now, there's another actor I think really does a shitty job here. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I think I know where you're going to go with this, just from your hesitancy, but go ahead.
Chadwick Boseman.
I think he's good here.
He's not.
Oh, I disagree.
Chadwick Boseman is a phenomenal, was a phenomenal actor, phenomenal star, a rocket ship.
Yeah, would have had a great career if he hadn't gotten sick.
And it's not his fault. Why is this Ohio State linebacker the most southern-sounding person in the world? Hey, Sonny Weaver, wake up, man. You gonna draft me tonight. What? Why? Why is his accent so bad?
Maybe he lived in the South when he was like 10 or something. Why do you sound like a hillbilly of New York City?
I grew up in West Point, Mississippi.
But you live in New York City for a long time. You sound like, you know.
First of all, I don't have a big Southern accent.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You ever been down South?
I listen to you. You have an insane Southern. People are going to, like, people are driving now, just driven off the road.
No, they know exactly what I'm talking about. When it comes to Southern accents, I am very low on the scale. Very low.
I'm speechless.
I am very low on the Southern accent scale. I do not have a huge Southern accent. You go down South, you go down to where I'm from, I'm in the first 25% of accents. There's 75% people with deeper accents than me.
So when you go back home, are you like a city slicker? It's like, no. Oh, New York boys here.
Well, then I do get a lot of that.
Yeah.
I do get a lot of that. But I mean, there are people in my hometown that talk like this all the time. That's the Southern accent. And that's how he talks.
So what do we say you have then? Like, what do you call?
That's not. I obviously just affected my voice. That's not how I talk.
No. Like when you talk,
I have a Southern accent.
All right,
but I don't have.
But maybe he's like you.
I don't have a severe Southern accent.
Well,
his was severe in this movie, and it was bad, and it was clearly a fake Southern accent.
Yeah, okay.
It was not good.
Do you know how old he was when he did this movie?
Well, he died when he was 42.
This is wild. So he's playing a 22-year-old man.
Oh yeah, no shit. He was 32.
38.
38? When did this movie come out?
2014.
Damn.
Why would you I think he's good here. Why would you cast Chad, a 38-year-old, to play a 22? It's very strange.
Well, I mean, Wood Harris was in Remember the Titans playing a 17-year-old boy, and he was 30.
But isn't that weird?
It's weird, but that's what Hollywood does, man.
No, I don't know. That's strange. That's a reach. That's
very weird. Well, I do think this movie set out. This movie didn't try to fill any roles with no names. There's no.
No, weird, like weird pulls. Like the same Elliott thing.
Like Dennis Leary.
Dennis Leary. No, he's awful.
But they tried. Every role, they tried to fill it with somebody. They didn't try to.
Kind of. You even had, like, the guy. Are you a Breaking Bad fan?
No.
A great show, by the way. This guy, Ted, who plays a major character in, like, season 2 and 3. He plays one of the GMs. It's on the phone for, like, 2 lines.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, every single role had to be someone you recognize in something, which, yeah. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, they probably had NFL money behind them.
It's probably more, and also, like, Reitman directed it. Maybe people, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. It almost becomes just very distracting.
So how bad is this movie?
It's pretty bad. It's not awful. It's very stupid. That is okay. Here's another issue I have with it. It also doesn't age particularly well. So Kevin Costner's character Sonny is very upset that Chadwick Boseman has tweeted. Meanwhile, he's fucking a subordinate and a guy that he's. Wondering about his character, is more concerned about his birthday party.
Yeah.
The same quarterback has a blog of all the girls he's fucked.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? Like, every character issue, this movie goes completely the wrong way.
Yeah, it does.
Very strange.
It does. Now, here's the number one craziest thing that happens in this movie. And I'm sure you noticed it. The number one pick in the draft happens.
Mm-hmm.
The Cleveland Browns owner, his boss, is...
Frank Langella from Eddie.
I thought it was.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So he's back in New York City.
Of course.
He's back in New York City. He's at Radio City Music Hall.
I like to think it's the same man.
He's at Radio City Music Hall. The number one pick happens. They pick Vontae Mack. He is standing there with a jersey to give
to Callahan.
To Callahan. Right. Bo Callahan, who was supposed to be the number one pick. When it's announced as Vontae Mack, he throws the jersey down. He turns and he starts to leave. That is the end of the first pick. In the NFL draft, there are 10 minutes between first-round picks. And maybe back then it was 15, but I'm pretty sure it was 10.
It was 10.
So 10 minutes between first-round picks. He leaves Radio City Music Hall. He gets in his car.
Fair point.
Now, there is no airport near Radio City Music Hall. He presumably has to go to Teterboro,
right.
The private airport, which at that time of night, that time of year, is going to be at least 30 minutes.
It's a Friday night, right? Because
it's a Thursday night.
Thursday, right, because back then. Thursday night.
Well, it's Thursday night every year.
What am I thinking of? Why was it 3?
Didn't
they change the setup of the draft?
Whatever.
Remember, it used to be like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? Or Saturday,
it's
Sunday.
It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I think back in the day it was different. Okay.
Well, whatever you think. That's fine.
Okay.
They just do it? They used to be, I remember the first round of the draft being on Saturday before in my life, right?
That's what I'm saying. I think it was Saturday, Sunday before.
It was Saturday. It was 2 days. Saturday, Sunday. Now it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right. Some, right?
God. He leaves after the first pick, and he walks back into...
So it's Thursday night, presumably like 7:30 at night.
7:30 at night. Major event in town, by the way. The NFL draft's here. He drives to Teterboro, gets on a plane, flies to Cleveland, and he walks in as Sonny Weaver is talking to Jeff Carson during the fourth pick, or maybe the fifth pick. Let's say the fifth pick.
Give him the benefit of the doubt.
During the fifth pick. So that is
35 minutes.
35 minutes between the end of the first to the middle of the fifth. 35 minutes, he went from Radio City Music Hall to walking into his draft office.
He wouldn't even get to Teterboro in 35 minutes.
I'm not sure he'd get out of New York in 35 minutes. That time of year. But 35 minutes, He went from Radio City Music Hall to Cleveland. It's the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen in a movie.
It's hard to like a movie that just...
Superman couldn't have done that.
This movie just disrespects its audience constantly. It constantly treats us like we're morons. And it, after a while, you're like, all right, it's a little frustrating. You know, it's like, I'll give Friday Night Lights a lot of credit. I feel like some of the character development stuff was kind of like that, but I felt for the most part, it was treating you like an adult. This treats us like we're just idiot 15-year-olds. It kind of does...
Kind of sit back in your seat, and we're going to tell you the story of how this NFL stuff works.
Right.
But
we have no idea how it really works.
Well, yeah, and the people that are going to be telling you just don't know at all. We're just guessing, and the draft scenarios are crazy.
He was kind of mailing it into, honestly.
You think Costner was?
Eh.
I think. Well, I mean, he had to know, right? That it wasn't a very good movie.
I would guess.
Was he mailing it in? Because I feel like Costner's Costner at this point.
Okay, look at his performance in something like Field of Dreams,
yeah,
which is what we're talking about next week.
Yeah.
And then you compare it to this, and it's just like, it's a different guy.
Yeah.
Even like Waterworld.
Watch
Waterworld.
This is a paycheck movie, right?
Yeah. Which, whatever, I guess. It's so bad. I don't know. It's so, like, so stupid, and it's just so mindless.
All that being said, it's bad. It's bad. I can watch it. The seeing GMs talk back and forth, regardless of how stupid the subject matter is, always, I'm a sucker for that. I'm just a sucker for hard-driving bargains. I'm a sucker for Kai McBride sitting there with his arms folded as his GM goes over those things. I'm a sucker for the dad and his son, who's Arian Foster, who's a coworker of ours. Arian Foster and Terry Crews are a dad and son. The dad played at Cleveland, and he just wants him to get drafted back. Like, I'm a sucker for all that stuff. Puffy's a bad actor here, too.
He's all right.
Yeah. Bo Callahan.
It's just distracting, though. It's like, why do we need...
why is Puffy there? Yeah. It was like they did have... It's almost like they had the list of people available to be in the movie before they had the movie.
I feel like there's a lot... Right. The names took a much more important role than the script.
Yeah.
Or getting things right, or really anything else. It was the partnership with the NFL and the names involved that was the most important thing. And it left a pretty bad movie in its way.
It's a bad movie.
I can't believe you watch this. Like, if you're like flipping around,
it's a bad movie that it isn't as bad as people act. There are good parts. There are entertaining parts. Ultimately, though, it collapses under the weight of its own bullshit.
Dennis Leary sucks in this, too, by the way. I haven't touched that yet.
I don't hate him in this.
I do. I don't buy it. Why? He's too
he's very sarcastic.
But he's like, he's Dennis Leary.
And he goes right to it immediately, yeah.
I don't know if NFL coaches would behave like that. I've never seen NFL coach.
He does, the second you meet him, he's like, he's too cool for school and he's miserable. And he's above all this shit. And
he's supposed to be like a Super Bowl.
I guess
they're trying to
paint a picture of a GM who's kind of lost the building.
Yeah.
But it just comes across as a petulant child.
Yeah, right, it does.
Yeah. Does Tony Kevin Costner throws a laptop in this movie?
Yes, he throws
and
a laptop.
It sticks in a wall.
It sticks in a wall like
a sword.
This random intern who's I guess there for comic relief, his laptop I guess for some reason, which is in Kevin Costner's office, and he picks it up because he's so frustrated. And right, he kind of like a throwing sword, a throwing star, like a ninja.
Yeah,
and it sticks into the wall.
It sticks in the wall like it's got a blade on it.
Yeah,
it's just one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
I'd be lying though if I didn't say like I kind of want to try that with an old laptop to see if it would work. I don't want to ruin somebody's wall, but I kind of would.
Well,
by the way, can I say this? I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like that.
Yeah, Clemmer.
I don't like when it's like fake brick.
Here's a secret. Nobody likes it. We all hate it.
But why do we put fake
the chair? The chairs are decent. Have somebody here whose job it is to come up with these sets, and this is what they came up with.
We
got to justify their sound.
Why does it need to be brick, though? Like, People watch it think it's really brick.
I don't know why it's brick. I don't know why that's brick. I don't know why that's a different color brick. I don't know why there's a plant here. I don't know why there's a space here where you can see the wires. I don't know a lot of things.
All right. I just figured it's been bothering me.
I like this.
That's nice. This is nice. And the lights seem... I bet the lights are good lights. I'm sure everything's like a high quality. I just don't understand. Like, I don't understand why.
What score would you give this movie?
A 40. Actually, I lied. A 38.
Focus, man.
The brick. I'm getting in anger about the brick. 38. How about you?
That's crazy because I was going 40.
All right. So
and I think what I was going to do is I was kind of going to use this as a line. Anything above this... is at least halfway decent.
No, it's a 50 is the line. There's literally already a line for that. It's 50.
I think 40 to 60 is about the same. You think 51 is that much better than 49?
No, but I think 38 is much worse than 51.
I'm not watching many movies worse than this, but I will watch this.
Ugh.
That's kind of where I'm at. Anything if it comes in below draft day might be my new Mendoza line.
All right. So one of the things we always ask every week is if we had to pick, you can watch this, you can watch Ed. What would you watch?
I'd watch this.
I'd watch Ed.
You'd watch Ed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ed, this wasn't as boring as Eddie, but this was annoying.
Annoying is a good word for it.
Ed is so bizarre. And we have to do our trade as well, which I'm really struggling with. I'm not going to lie.
This is tough. It's a high school sports program and an NFL team. I have gone back and forth. I thought maybe, Bo Callahan for Mike Winchell, but Mike Winchell just ruins draft day. Even worse than it's already ruined. So, Boobie Miles, can I get Boobie Miles for Ray Jennings? But I don't think Ray Jennings, who's played by Arian Foster, is a big enough character to swap with Boobie Miles. Do I do the booster, the evil booster against the owner? That's not
Ooh,
a bad
that's not
one.
Bad with Brad Leland action. I'm a big Leland fan.
Yeah, you get him in draft day being like coach. Listen, if you don't hit this draft, you might have to look for somewhere else to go.
Yeah.
That kind of works.
Yeah.
I don't mind that one. And then there is no character that I would subject to the hell of having to trade with Jennifer Garner.
Connie is funny because Connie Britton's great. She's very good in the movie and she's fantastic in the show as the coach's wife. So what's your trade? Is the Langella?
I think it's overbearing booster for overbearing owner.
You're not going to like my deal, which – I understand why you wouldn't like it, but I'm going to trade Billy Bob Thornton to draft day for Sam Elliott.
Wow. Okay. All right. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. You're not trading straight up for a character because you can't trade Billy Bob Thornton to Cleveland to be the Wisconsin's coach because he's only got four lines. The one you want to replace is Dennis Leary, correct?
Yeah.
So that's not really a one-for-one swap. You're replacing the titular coach for a side character.
Right. It means I'm basically shortchanging Billy Bob Thornton in this. But I just think Sam Elliott might be more believable than Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, you know what? A world where Sam Elliott's the coach in Friday Night Lights, that hits.
That's what I mean. But then again, Billy Bob Thornton is really good. I think I'm not being fair to Billy Bob Thornton. I think I've been too critical about him even in the show.
Sam.
Because he's very good.
Sam Elliott is on a short list of actors that every time I see him, I wonder why. I just want to see him more. I've never seen Sam Elliott be like,
No.
Sam Elliott's great.
Awesome in Tombstone.
He's great. Sam Elliott's great in everything he's ever been in.
A Star is Born. He's fantastic.
He's fantastic in Star is Born.
He's so good.
When he shows up in as Ron in Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah.
He shows up as other Ron. Yeah. And he's like.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. He's awesome. He's like the antithesis of Ron Swanson.
Yes. Oh, my God. Wow. I barely remember that. I missed that episode 10 years ago.
Which I only watched a few episodes of this on Netflix, but The Ranch was a very popular TV show.
Never saw it.
He was the only one that I could stand on it.
Yeah.
It's a bad show.
Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah,
show, right?
it's a bad show, but he shows up and he's good.
Similarly, it's great. No, this is a tough one. I don't really have a compelling. I feel like this whole episode hasn't been very compelling. But
well, there's not a lot of main characters in this. There's a whole lot of characters.
Yeah.
It's very similar, actually.
Yes.
You know a lot of people, but you don't know anybody.
Right. And I don't care about a lot of them either, in either movie. But this is just, I think, such a better craftsmanship than this. And this is so much smarter than this.
I got one. This is weird. I'm going to take Tim McGraw as the abusive father.
Yeah.
I'm going to trade him with Kevin Costner's sweet, sad mother in draft day.
Burstyn.
So I'm going to take the mother and give it to this kid who desperately needs love. And then I want Tim McGraw to beat the shit out of Sonny if he makes a bad draft pick.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, Tim McGraw just shows up.
Also, Tim McGraw for Dennis Leary might make sense.
Tim McGraw's a good actor, a decent actor.
He really is.
Yeah.
A much better actor than he should be.
Have you seen 1883?
No.
He's good in that.
I hate – it's a movie I actually don't like. We'll probably come to the show, The Blind Side. I think it's pretty stupid.
We will never watch that.
Really?
Really.
We'll never watch that for the show.
I will never watch that. I will never watch that in my life. I will never watch that.
Why?
It's a work of fiction. It's bullshit.
Well, that's a great reason to have
that player. That player was bought and paid for by Ole Miss. They cheated to get him, and it's absolutely fiction. I'll quit this show before you make me watch that.
That's like a great Don't you want to rip on the movie?
I will walk off the show.
But that's what we do. We rip on.
If you say we're doing Blindside next week, I will not come back.
I won't say that, but I think you'd want to have a.
Never watched Blindside.
But this gives you a chance.
I have had Michael Oher himself DM me and say, "You're right about this. You're right.
This sounds like a great episode.
I'm not doing it.
Really?
Really?
All right. Well, we all have our.
But next week.
Next week. The Blindside. No. Field of Dreams and the baseball movie is The Babe. Right? The Babe with John Goodman.
Were you excited when you heard about it?
I ran to the theater. I was there opening weekend.
He hosted Saturday Night Live right ahead of it.
Yes.
Pretty good.
He's a great SNL host.
Yeah, he's a great SNL host.
With that crew, with Farley and that crew.
And he was, and I remember thinking, oh man, this is going to be great. So I got to see it. Because it was in the, I'm going to say it was 92. And it was in the cradle of just great sports movies,
yeah.
Right? Everything, every year you had, that year alone, you had White Man Can't Jump and A League of Their Own. And it just was, it's a bad movie.
It's not good. I haven't seen it since. The 12-year-old annoyed boy.
I only saw it once, and I might have only watched half of it.
I watched all of it in the theater. I was trapped, so I watched
it. Oh, yeah. I might have only watched half of it. But what was the other one, Field of Dreams?
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams. There was a long time in my life, 20 years probably, where I said it was my favorite movie ever made.
But you were a much smarter man then.
I kind of aged out of it, though.
Yeah, you've gotten dumber.
You're just as old as I am.
Yeah, but you've gotten dumber.
Have you gotten smarter?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Probably not. I wouldn't wonder about that. Am I getting dumber as I get older? Probably.
Can I get an exception? Would you sign off on this?
We just had an exception. The Blindside, apparently. You're going to freak out.
My exception is out there. You know, I pushed a guy a couple of years ago, so I can't physically touch anybody again. So
right.
I get fired if I punch somebody.
Right, yeah.
But in here, you make me so mad. Can I just have one punch at some point? One punch on the history of the show.
What? No, you can't punch me. You'd hurt me, probably. You're a bigger man than me. You're very.
I'd beat the fuck out of you.
You're obese. You'd use that weight against me. I would be hurt.
Punching you looks so goddamn fun.
Why?
It's just, I feel like your bones would just collapse around.
I've never broken a bone. I have very strong bones.
Like, what's that sand that you put your fist in and it just it forms? That's what I feel
I've
like.
I've never
you
broken
would,
a bone.
I don't know. You're nothing but bone.
I know, but I've never broken one.
Is the show over?
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to lie, I really want to talk about Blindside now, all the time with you. I want to bring it up constantly.
Field of Dreams and The Babe next week.
Yeah, Field of Dreams, Babe. I love you all.
No, you don't. Even the Mena fans that hate you and want you dead?
Stella Blue Coffee's new canned lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations. So when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today. Taste the difference and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee canned lattes now available at StellaBlueCoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.